It is not by accident, I believe, that we have been turning to Acts chapter 20 in this, and I too, in my preparation, went to Acts chapter 20, and I want to read something to you from John R.W. Stott in his commentary on the book of Acts on this text. Listen to what this guy says, and you wouldn't expect a guy from his particular ecclesiological frame of reference to say this. But he's talking about the plurality that is clearly indicated in Acts 20, especially in 28 and following. He says this: thirdly, the church of Ephesus clearly had a team of presbyter bishops. Similarly, Paul appointed elders in every Galatian church. As we've seen later, he instructed Titus to do the same in Crete. There is no biblical warrant either for a one-man band, parenthesis, a single pastor playing all the instruments of the orchestra himself, or for a hierarchical or pyramidical structure in the local church, a single pastor perched at the apex of the pyramid. It is not even clear that each of the elders was in charge of an individual house church. It is better to think of them as a team, all sharing the pastoral care of Christ's flock. We need today to recover this concept of a pastoral team in the church. And I would say a hearty amen to that. Now, we come from an ecclesiological frame of reference as a rule that sees the value of plurality of leadership, plurality of elders who govern the flock of God in that particular place. But the reality is, I think there are some things that we find in Acts 20 that we're probably not doing and not as conscious of as we should be. Or to put it more bluntly, too often I think what happens is we replace the one man at the top of the pyramid with a group of men we call elders. And there's a mindset in that that can quickly and easily become distorted to where there is a top-down mentality that discounts the role of the body in terms of the shepherding of the flock. So that's just a warning about where I'm going to be going. So take a look with me at Acts 20, 28. Watch out for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. I know that after I'm gone, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, even from among your own group. Underscore that. Even from among your own group, men will arise, teaching perverse things of the truth, to draw disciples away after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Now, keep this in mind. The church at Ephesus was a New Testament church. Got it? It was a New Testament church. It was governed by a body of elders. It was basically taught and instructed by Paul and later by Timothy and others in the way in which a church ought to function. It's a New Testament church. Having said that, Paul says to those elders, as he gathers with them, be careful, because there are going to be those who will rise up, even among your own number. There are going to be men who rise up who seek a personal following. And in order to gain that following, they will distort the truth so that men will follow them rather than to follow the leadership and direction of the elders of the body at Ephesus. So the elders' first responsibility is to watch out for themselves. Is that not interesting? He says, in order to care for the flock, you must first watch out for yourselves. That self-policing element is one I virtually don't hear anything about. And I'm talking about outside New Testament churches or inside New Testament churches. There's a problem there. And that's why I've titled this section, Who Shepherds the Shepherds? And see, I think what Paul is saying is, Shepherds need shepherding. Shepherds need supervision. The church needs to be guarded so its shepherds don't go off course. Because if the shepherds go off course, my friend, the church is going off course. Does that not make sense? So that's something that to me, and I had read this passage, I preached on that passage, I had never before seen it in that light of saying, first and foremost, be on your guard, take caution, related to your own number, because people are going to tend to arise to seek authority and honor and position for themselves. So that threat comes from without in some cases, as he says, but it also comes from within the very group of people who are currently governing the church there in Ephesus. So shepherds are to shepherd themselves, and protection comes through maintaining plurality. What he's saying is this: a group of elders has the tendency, like any group, to have somebody rise to a level of dominance that's unhealthy. I have a friend who is now with the Lord, and he put together a meeting of, I think, 25 of the top evangelical preachers and leaders in the country. And they had a whole weekend of gathering together, and it was probably the only time they'd ever been together in a non-competitive environment. And somebody in the group says, "Let's do this again." And my friend's answer was, "Never." The reason is because one of you guys will start vying for pecking order. You guys will start sorting yourselves out and lining yourselves up so that somebody gravitates to the top. And the purpose for that meeting was for men to deal with each other on an equal level, not for men to compete with each other for some kind of prominence. So too much power, too much authority in the hands of any one elder is dangerous. Now the question is, how does that happen? How does one gain a following for himself? And it's right here in the text. Anybody want to venture a guess? False teaching. False teaching. That's why he commends them to the word of his grace. What's the protection? Paul says, "I'm going. I'm not coming back." So he's not saying, "I'll watch out for them." He says, "I commend you to God's word." The way that men will rise is they will depart from the scriptures. The way to discern them is to stick with the scriptures. And when they depart from the scriptures, then you've got people who say, "You know, I kind of like his take on this subject. I know it's not quite the same as the rest of the elders in the church, but I kind of like that direction." As one relative of mine said one time about this liberal church they attended, "He preaches the gospel the way I like to hear it." And you know, you almost are inclined to say, "And that, my friend, is the problem. The gospel is not what we want to hear. The gospel needs to be preached the way we need to hear it." So that text says that there is a danger that is within the church. It is a danger when true plurality is set aside, when dominance begins to occur, and likely it will occur through a departure from God's word in some area that attracts a following. Now, it's easy to look at this text and say, "This is all hypothetical." Is it? I would go immediately in my mind to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What does it say? "I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas." Of course, the prize winner of all is, "I am of Christ." Now, obviously, that was of Christ by my definition. I think in chapter 4, Paul makes it clear. It isn't about Paul or Apollos or Cephas. He says, I use those names, in a sense, metaphorically, because in every church, you're going to have to figure out who those guys are. And so somebody may be a Paul and somebody may be a Apollos in one particular church. But what he's saying is, they are beginning to gain a following. And people find their identity, they find their pride, they find their perks from identifying. And that's why in some communities, they don't care that the pastor or whoever the big guru is, that he has a $5 million mansion, because they identify with him. His success is my success. He drives a Rolls Royce, for all intents and purposes, that's me. They find a vicarious fulfillment in identifying with somebody like that. Anyway, that's what Paul is saying. So the threat is men rising up to undo unbalanced authority, position, and status within the plurality of elders, and often doing it at the expense of doctrine and therefore bringing harm to the church. Therefore, the elders shepherd the flock, first of all, by shepherding themselves. Otherwise, they're going to have serious problems.